Good morning. Did everybody have a wonderful Christmas? Yeah. Did you at least get one thing that you wanted for Christmas? Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. I would ask you what you got, but I bet you all could go on forever and ever about all the wonderful gifts you got. So we're not going to do that right now, but you can find me after the service, and you can each tell me what your favorite gift was that you got for Christmas. But you know, at Christmas time, and did you know this is still Christmas time in the church? We are in the middle of Christmas still, and so today we're singing Christmas hymns and we're celebrating the arrival of the Christ child. And today in our story we hear this tale of Jesus being brought to the temple to be dedicated to God, and Mary and Joseph run into this man named Simeon, and Simeon tells them, like other people have already told them, that this is going to be a special child and that this Jesus is going to grow up to show the whole world what it is to love one another and to grow in God's grace. And so, you know what? Simeon does this funny thing, though. He says, but you know what? Sometimes things are going to be dark. He doesn't just say it's always going to be happy. He even says there are going to be some times when Jesus goes through some rough stuff, and Mary, you're going to go through it too. But you know what? He says, but the light shines in all of that. Who remembers when we had the eclipse a few months ago? Does anybody remember the eclipse? Yeah. You remember how the sun was shining so brightly, and then all of a sudden, the moon started going in front of its path, and what happened? It got darker and darker and darker, right? And then at that moment when the moon went all the way in front of the sun, it was like the light was almost all the way blocked out, but you could still see it. You could still see this ring around the moon, and you could see a little bright spark of light. And then what happened? It moved on and the sun came out again. And so at Christmas time, we celebrate the fact that God's light is continuing to move into the world. And so look, I've got, what's this? Watch this. You see that? Little nice candle here. I'm going to let, as you all head back to your seats, I'm going to let each of you take one of these, and you'll have to ask your parents where you can put it at your house. But what I want you to do is, in these dark winter months, I want you to take this light and turn it on as a reminder of Christ's light in the world and a reminder to us to love everyone we meet. All right? Will you say a prayer with me? Gracious Lord, it is a wonderful thing to be here today to celebrate your presence with us, that your light has come into the world. We know that you are here with each of us today, and Lord, just help us learn to live and walk in your light in all things. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, would y'all like one? Yeah, you're welcome. So let me start out today then by saying three things to you. First of all, as I just said, Merry Christmas, because we are still in the Christmas season here in the church, and so today we continue to celebrate the arrival of the Christ child. The second thing I say is Happy New Year, because this doesn't always happen, but this year, the first Sunday after Christmas Day happens to be New Year's Eve as well, and so we are all looking ahead to 2018. So Happy New Year. And finally, and most importantly, I want to say congratulations. You made it. You made it through all of the December shopping for presents and throwing or parties or going to parties and visiting with family and friends and all of the other stuff that goes along with this hectic time of year. But you know, I hope you've all had a bit of time since Christmas Day over this last week that tends to be a little slower to reflect a bit on some of those truly special gifts that seem to come to us during the Christmas season. The company of those that we love most dearly. Time to slow down and reflect on another long year that has passed. And most especially, time to reflect on the Christmas promise of God's presence with us. Now, I don't know about you, but once Christmas Day has passed and gone, It seems like I can finally soak in just a little bit of that Christmas joy and hope. It's like on Christmas Day, finally, and that week that follows, it's as if a little peace has finally arrived into my life. And yet, there looming on the horizon is the end of it all. In those very moments when everything seems to have settled down, when happiness has started to take up residence in my heart, and I just want to sit back and enjoy the bright glow of the light of Christmas, it seems like it's time to move on. Even for those of us like me who like to keep up our decorations all the way through the 12 days of Christmas, I will tell you that's the right way to do it, by the way. There is, even for people like me, Christmas Day, I have to admit, it signals that there's this march towards the end of the Christmas season, and before I know it, it's gone. Now, this is not all bad, and in a lot of ways, it's really great to get back to a semblance of our normal routines, to get back in the groove. And you know, certainly the prospect of a new year also brings with it the real possibility of freshness and of growth and of change, perhaps even renewal of sorts. But you know, if we're honest with ourselves, or at least if I'm honest with myself, often the close of the Christmas season is shadowed by the seeming fact that the joy of Christmas will be overcome by our return to the real world, to our real lives, and to the everyday. And the truth is that this is actually sort of our experience of Christmas in the church as well. No sooner have we celebrated the arrival of the Christ child into the world than it seems that we are journeying to the cross with Jesus. And our calendar, our church calendar, certainly doesn't do us any favors. Did you know that Lent this year starts on February 14th? That's right, Valentine's Day. So it's easy to remember. We have, and just a really interesting fact, Ash Wednesday on Valentine's Day, and then you know what Easter is? April Fool's Day. So we might pull a prank on you come Easter. But our calendar is so compact this year, we only get 6 weeks to spend with the baby child Christ and also talking about the life and ministry of the man Jesus before we start on our final journey to Jerusalem. And so, you know, it's like we're already getting there. We're already leaving behind this Christmas thing. And here we are on the seventh day of Christmas, and you know what? Our scriptures even do us less of a favor than the calendar does. Here we come to this story of Jesus' dedication in the temple. And if you're actually reading the narratives in the Gospel of Luke, this story follows right after the shepherds visit to the manger and Jesus receives his name. So the story is truly the next one in the sequence of events according to Luke. So we're told that when the time was right that Joseph and Mary went to Jerusalem to present Jesus in the temple. Now, while it's not exactly the same thing, watching them do this must have been something like watching people come forward in our own church to bring their children forward for baptism. On those happy occasions, it's the special privilege of the ministers, but also of you, to affirm what God is already doing in the lives of these children and their parents as we pray for their continued growth in love and service to God. And so somewhat similarly here, Joseph and Mary are following their religious customs to dedicate this child, Jesus, to the service of God. Now, one can only imagine what a special, meaningful moment this must have been for them, especially when you think about the fact that they had already been told that this was a special child. They already expected this child to be a blessed servant of God. And so this act of presenting Jesus was really just an affirmation of everything that they already knew to be true about their baby, that he would be someone special, that in the words of the angel Gabriel, he would be great, and the Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So offering a child like this in the temple for dedication would have been a joyous occasion indeed. But you know what? It's just at this time, however, that they encounter Simeon, the first of two prophets who would cross their paths that day. Now, Luke says Simeon was a righteous man and had spent his whole life looking forward to the consolation of Israel. That's the way it's translated, the consolation. Well, the Greek word that's translated as consolation really means something more like coming alongside. So in other words, Simeon, like so many prophets before him, was waiting for that time when God's people would be in full and right relationship with God. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon had come to know that he would witness the arrival of the Messiah, this ultimate sign that God had kept God's promises, that God was, yes, indeed with them. So upon seeing this child brought into the temple, Simeon actually can't wait. And he's led by the Spirit, and he goes and he scoops up this baby. And he declares that salvation has come in the form of this child. Now his testimony to the baby's identity is made clear when he says that he's seen salvation and he can be dismissed. But this is not all. Simeon even goes on to say that this baby will be a light to the Gentiles. In other words, this work of salvation will have something to do with everyone, with all people. And we're told that Mary and Joseph are amazed by this declaration. So not only does Simeon say, yes, this is a special baby, but also maybe gives them a glimpse into just how special he is, maybe even more than they knew before, that in this baby, salvation would be offered to all persons. Now, this is where we typically like to focus when we hear this story. Every time I hear a sermon preached on this story, or we read it in a Bible class or something else, we typically like to stop right here, because I think we're drawn to this image of Simeon, who has waited so faithfully all along, all of these years, to see God's salvation. We find some hope in the fact that God rewards his patience. And we love this idea that the Christ child is indeed the one who will bring salvation to us and to the world. So it would really be nice if the story could just stop right there. Kind of like how I wish sometimes we could just freeze Christmas joy in its place. If Mary and Joseph could simply bask in this adulation of their child. And you know, it'd be wonderful if we could join along with them to sort of be forever there, amazed by what it is that God is doing in this moment. But you know what? Simeon is wise, and wise Simeon won't let Mary and Joseph off the hook that easily. And frankly, they don't let us off the hook that easily either. Because like all great prophets, Simeon is a truth teller, or the way we might say it, he tells it like it is. And Simeon has declared that this child will be a light for revelation to the world, yes, but he also admits that where there is light, there is shadow. Just as he has affirmed Mary and Joseph's highest hopes, he turns to Mary with a foreboding prediction that the child Jesus will be the occasion for the rising and falling of many people. That Jesus will be a sign that is opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. I love that phrase, so that the inner thoughts of many people will be revealed. And then Simeon tells Mary that a sword will pierce her own soul as well. So in just a few brief sentences, Simeon foreshadows the anguish that is to accompany the life of Jesus as well as all of those who love him. Now, it's hard not to wonder what Mary must have been thinking in a moment like this. Could she have fully comprehended what it was that Simeon meant? Was there any way for her to know the extent to which she and her son would sacrifice and suffer in the years ahead? And while I suspect that there was no way for her to fully grasp the magnitude of what Simeon said in that moment, I imagine at some level, as a mother, she knew what Simeon meant. Because while the promise of pain of which Simeon spoke was sort of on a divine, big, grand scale, it's not dissimilar to the combined experience of hope and trepidation that many parents of children feel. They love their children dearly, wishing the best for them, all the while knowing that life won't be perfect. There will be challenges and failures. There will be times even that test the relationship between parent and child. But when it's all said and done, there's an abiding love that bears these struggles and a faith in the end that the goodness of life shared and passed on to a child will have been worth all of that pain. But Mary could have never imagined the rejection her son would eventually face. And you know, Simeon's words don't simply address the experience of one particular mother and son. Again, Simeon is speaking on this grand divine scale. His words have implications far beyond the intimate experience of mother and son. His words foreshadow the long and difficult process of God's saving love for humankind working its way into the world. In essence, he speaks of the relationship between God and all of God's children. And it's easy to let these prophetic words of Simeon's slip by in the midst of a casual reading of this story. But you know, I think once you notice them, it becomes almost impossible to experience the joy of Christmas in quite the same way again. Because for all of the hope present in the arrival of the Christ child, Simeon's words to Mary are a stark reminder that the saving work of God is not coming about in one immediate moment of victory over evil. Rather, this is the beginning of a long, difficult process of illuminating the darkness that lies at the heart of a sinful world. It's ongoing. And Simeon's purposes, his words to Mary, are a stark reminder that living into God's promises and purposes is not easy or painless. In fact, there are times when it may not seem joyful at all, times when the heart will be pierced. And yet, that is the peculiar hope that we are offered every Christmas season. This is the strange and wondrous source of our joy that can sustain us in the new year and years to come. Simeon's words remind us that whenever we encounter God in Jesus Christ, we are presented with an opportunity to live in the light that illumines the shadows in our world, in our lives, and yes, even in our own hearts. We are offered a chance time and again to envision life as God reveals it, life full of love that reaches into the darkest depths of human experience. And we're invited to remember that at Christmas time, we don't celebrate a cheap and superficial happiness, one that easily fades away as we get back to our real lives in the real world. No, rather, we find joy in the fact that God has come to dwell among us, right here in our real lives and in this real world. Now, sometimes this joy is a hard-earned joy. When the light of Christ illumines the shadows that continue to dwell among us and within us, we face decisive moments when we must choose how we respond to what it is that's being revealed. It's the great Christmas claim that in Christ, God has put on flesh and blood to make love and forgiveness and healing and grace and redemption known to us and to the whole world. And as members of the body of Christ, that's all of us here today, we are asked to take part in that ongoing presence of God in the world. What does it look like to truly believe that God is with us here and now? What would it mean to tend to the shadows, to open space for God's light to shine in on the darkest parts of our lives, both collectively and individually? Now, at the end of our gospel lesson today, we heard of a second prophet, a woman named Anna, who, after having been widowed at a young age, spent the rest of her life at the temple, steeped in worshiping and fasting and prayer. Now, I bet Anna's life didn't turn out quite the way she thought it would when she was young and engaged to be married. She didn't expect to lose a husband so young. And yet, when her life was interrupted and turned upside down by death, her response was to open her life even more fully to the purposes of God. So I think it's fitting that this is the woman who then had walked this her own journey of pain that comes forward to begin to publicly announce to all that salvation has come. Her bold proclamation is an example of what it means to live into the hope of Christ. And here is a deep trust that what is truly foreshadowed by the arrival of Christ is not the ongoing presence of darkness, but the fullness of the light of God's love. So, this week, as you get back into your normal routines, as the realities of life begin to creep back in upon you as these cold winter months drag on, remember that wherever and whenever you see shadow, remember the testimony of Simeon and Anna. Remember that light shines even through the shadows. And remember that the Word of God has indeed come to dwell among us. God's loving mercy and grace is the story above all stories that foreshadows the salvation that is happening all around us. So once again, as we continue on in our service today, I say, Happy New Year. Go into 2018 knowing that God is with each and every one of you and that God's light continues to shine from now and forever forward. Thanks be to God.